Blog Talk Radio.
All right, family, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister and your host, Sister Georgia. Today, family, is the 30th, oh no, excuse me, look at the time. It's the 28th of August, 2018. We're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word. We've titled today's lesson, Part 8 of Increased Knowledge, The Simultaneous Gathering by Separation. This is Part 8 of Increased Knowledge, and we're going to get into the Simultaneous Gathering by Separation. Now, this is written all throughout the book, and many are not taking the Father's Word spiritually, so they can't connect the timeline for things. But we're going to show you within Scripture what is going on even today in the world. What's going on? What are we seeing? If you're looking for things visually, you'll probably be mistaken, because it's a spiritual thing that's taking place in the earth right now. It took place in the taking place today. So we're going to take a look at how the Most High's chosen people, his spiritual people, spiritual Israel, how some will be gathered from the four corners of the earth while others will remain in the earth. Okay, this is a spiritual gathering. So I ask everyone just to raise your hands and let's give our Father praise. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all honor and glory, Father. Father, we thank you for your word that was preserved and for the renewing of our mind, our body, and our spirits so we can get the understanding that was intended for your people, be a light to those who can't hear, who have not heard. Father, be a light to the Gentiles. Father, so that by the reading of your word, they get edified, they get renewed. Everyone under the sound of my voice, by allowing the Spirit to give that increase. Father, we give you all glory and all honor. We say hallelujah, Father. Thank you and we love you. In Yahushua's name we pray. All right, we're going to get started. Today's lesson is Part 8, Increased Knowledge, The Simultaneous Gathering by Separation. Now, I'm going to do a little recapping on this. If I had to go back to, if somebody's coming on new, they should be able to pick up, but you must go through the prior lessons to get the full scriptures. But if I had to recap on increased knowledge, family, we came to the understanding by the prior seven lessons that the Most High scattered the sons or the children, okay? When he gathered or scattered his children across the four corners of the earth, they became Gentiles. Just like we can read in Genesis 11 that his children were there amongst the others, just like you see today. And they were scattered because of disobedience, building the Tower of Babel. They all came under one accord. So they were scattered. They became Gentiles. Remember, Abraham was the first to come out of confusion, out of Babylon. How did he come out? By the Father's Spirit. So when the Spirit is removed, it's due to sin. Can't hear. The people can't hear. The confusion that even Isaiah spoke of, that they would have eyes, but they couldn't see, ears, but they couldn't hear, and a mind where it wouldn't make any sense. They'd be in confusion. But physically, they had eyes they could see. Physically, they had ears where they could hear. And physically, they have a mind, but somebody else is being headship over them. And it's the God of this world. Paul speaks of that clearly. When you go to Ephesians, he says that we were all under the prince of the power of the air when you're a Gentile, okay? So we know that we became Gentiles upon being scattered. In one of the lessons prior, I also read to you Matthew 24. I'm going to read it again, verses 1 and 2. I gave the understanding of the scattering here in Matthew 24. I'm going to just read verses 1 and 2. And Yahushua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahushua said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And we know, just by continuing to read, he was not talking about a physical temple that you see that's made with bricks. He was talking about his body. He also was talking about his people. When he went to look, Jerusalem, it said he wept. He said, well, I'll find faith when I return. Because he was letting you know that the word Jesus, the word God in the Bible, because our Father says, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written to me. He's the mediator. He's the only one we've been dealing with. When that spirit, remember God is a spirit, okay, so when this spirit goes out of a temple, which is our body, that's due to sin, because the Father won't reside in a place that's sinful and unclean. So upon that, he will take away his spirit and scatter his people. But I gave you another precept, speaking about this buildings of a temple upon another, the scattering. In Jeremiah 24:6, it reads, the Father says, I will keep my eyes upon their good and will return them to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. So that was a promise given to the Most High's people, the ones who have spirits from above and we hear. Not have spirits from above, but we have gone into the ways of the world, like Cain, like Esau, like Ishmael. We can keep going down the line. Go through the book of Kings, you'll see them there. Go through the book of Judges, you'll see them there. Go in the New Covenant, you'll see them there. Look around today, and they're here. Family, he said, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. We were going to become Gentiles. We were going to be scattered. When we take a look at the siege of Jerusalem, that's what happened. We know the northern kingdom had already been scattered since the time of the Assyrians took over. But Judah, the southern kingdom, basically still in Jerusalem, okay? They were scattered. They didn't say, oh, Judah, you're going to America. I know a lot of people like to teach these fables or traditions or ideologies. But the Most High showed me where, when they grabbed us all up to take us off those they didn't kill, just like before, it wasn't a matter of separating us from the different nations or tribes. That's what the word tribe means, a nation. Or to try to separate us by kingdoms, because the two kingdoms are the kingdoms of Israel. That's who this book is for. They didn't do that. They just threw us all here, there, all in one big lump. All in one big lump. Now, we're scattered across the four corners of the earth, family, known as Gentiles, after the siege of Jerusalem. Then later we read about the awakening of the spirits from above, both the righteous and the unrighteous. If we go, I'm going to take you there really quick. Let's go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. We read this in prior lessons. I'm just recapping. Daniel 12, verses 1 reads, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that shall sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we see right here in the book of Daniel, which is prophecy of things that were to come, that when Michael, and if you understand, Michael is Yahushua or Jesus, another name for him, this Michael is going to stand up for his people. Because his people were scattered across the four corners of the earth. And when he stands up for his people, At this time, he's going to deliver them. But it says, everyone that shall be found written in the book, which tells you, if you understand, the second coming has come, and we're going to prove it in a second, but the second coming has come. So that means that when you go to Revelation 5 and he's opening this book, which was sealed at one point when the people sinned, and it said that they would have eyes and, you know, they can't see and all this stuff. Revelation talks about this book now is being opened. Simultaneously, in the lessons before, we showed you that some people during the famine, their eyes being shut, their ears being closed, okay? First of all, it wasn't for bread, it wasn't for water, but it was hearing the word. So throughout sin, the people kept getting scattered. The people kept not hearing from the Father properly like they needed to be. So during that portion, it says Michael's going to stand up. When he stands up to deliver his people, it says, everyone that shall be found written in the book. That took us back to Revelation 5 that talks about who is able to open the book. Okay? And we went through those verses. And it said that it was Yahushua, the slain lamb, which means that piggybacks back to, depending on how you're looking at Revelations. If you're looking at Revelations as something that is yet to come, like many are, you'll be in error. Revelation is a revealing or a disclosure of Yahushua, what he accomplished. So you know, just by going to Ephesians, Paul was speaking so strong because Paul was speaking spiritual. He was speaking spiritual. He let us all know that as soon as Yahushua ascended, as soon as he overcame the flesh, overcame sin for us, and left that sitting right there in the physical, the flesh, that his spirit had ascended. So now at this point, he is going back to Revelation 5, and they saw this slain lamb as if wounded. This is the Passover, the sacrificial lamb that took away the sins of the world of Israel. And I will say that because many are teaching a doctrine that everybody in the whole world, first of all, to take away the sins, you have to have been under the law. And even those Gentiles knew the law. The Bible says it. It says that, howbeit that those who are not under the law keep the law. They keep the law. There's a lot of things said about the law family. I'm not going to get into all that right now. What's important is that you understand that at this time means that it had already happened, that he already resurrected. He opened the book, and before we can read in Acts, where he comes back as the comforter and goes to the second coming series that I did, he comes back as a comforter. He's bringing us, the kingdom, the Father, everything with him. He also is bringing judgment because, remember, Revelation 5, he's already opened that book. Tells us, Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, and at that time, what time? Well, after he conquered death, after he resurrected, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Okay, they're going to be waking, many of these people. Whoa, what people? That must be, what, Genesis, day six creation? Uh-uh. No. He's talking about the people who have spirits from above. He's talking about the seventh day creation that came from Adam and Eve. The lineage of Cain, the lineage of the serpent, and Abel, the lineage of our father. Through this lineage, they're going to wake up. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. When the people who have spirits from above wake up, some, because they've already been judged, to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So remember, family, remember, the ones who are asleep, they're not physically dead or physically snoring in their beds, but they're dry bones, which means their spiritual life or spirit has been separated from their physical body. That's all a dry bone is. This is a separation. Everybody went out as Gentiles. We were separated from the Father by sin, becoming dry bones, right? So the spiritual life or the spirit, which gives life, has been separated from these physical bodies. So they are people who are asleep, although awake and alive. Physically alive and awake, but spiritually these people were asleep. So these people are going to wake up. But when they wake up, there's going to be a division. Some to everlasting life, and then you're going to have some to shame and everlasting contempt. When Yahushua returned as the Comforter, bringing our spiritual bodies back, we became new creatures, that is, born again. Now we hear by the Spirit that is dwelling within us. Remember, family, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to go better over some of these verses if y'all don't know them, but go to Ephesians 2. It said that in Ephesians 1, Yahushua was sitting at the right hand of his Father. He had dethroned all principalities and powers of wickedness in heavenly places. You go to Ephesians 2, it said now we, just as him, are sitting in heavenly places. And this was already since the foundation of the world. The books had already been opened. These spiritual bodies are coming back with him. You're going to get it. Hold on, we're going to get to those scriptures. But I'm trying to give a little understanding because I went out the last few days. I was going to come on yesterday, but doing more and more and more praying and meditating, and then the Father leading to me what he wanted me to see. I see that, you know, I got to go slow with everyone because if you miss a little part, you'll say, oh, she's lying, even though you're reading the scripture yourself. You're not putting these parts together. So we like to go slow with this. Okay, I did put 2 hours on this lesson, but I probably will not take all that. If I only do half my lesson tonight, I'll probably do the other half tomorrow. Let's go on, family. Let's go on, because we are a new creature that is born again. Because those spiritual bodies with Yahushua that we can read about in Ephesians chapter 2, that's where Yahushua said, in my Father's house is many mansions. Our vessels, our bodies, our houses, our mansions. So when we came back with him, we got reborn. Our spirit got quickened again. Okay, because he took sin, so sin was not there. He brought a spiritual body back to us that was ours from the beginning. Okay, he's getting ready to do a separation here. Now, this is why Joel prophesied that we would have dreams and visions. Okay, this is why Joel prophesied we can have dreams and visions. You remember he said, your young men will have dreams and your old man and the visions and all this stuff. We brought it back to the book of Acts. Peter said the same thing, speaking about the dreams and visions. Hearing the Father again. It was prophesied to happen. This is why Joel prophesied we would have dreams and visions. The Word tells us, if we go to Proverbs 29, verse 18, it said, where there is no vision, where there is no understanding from the Father, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But what law, even in Proverbs, we can connect to New Covenant, are the people supposed to be keeping? Well, it's a spiritual law. It's the covenant of Yahushua. He has made everything attainable for us to keep. Whereas the law that Moses gave us, we couldn't keep it because of the flesh. Now we have taken off the old man and now we're flowing in the spirit. We will have those visions so that we will not perish. But as we keep the law, we will continue to be happy. We walk by faith and not by sight. We do spiritual things. The true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and truth. It doesn't matter what you see, because what you don't see, that's what affects you. So you can't fight a spiritual war if you're looking in the flesh. So the Father gives us vision streams. We're going to get into those in later lessons. Not today. Later lessons, okay? Then simultaneously, family, if all this is going on, you got simultaneously two things appearing. Some people are going to have incorruptible bodies in life, whereas others will have corruption, bodies which are corrupted and will remain corrupted and made for destruction. Now, for the righteous seed, I took you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I read verses 1 to 13. It talks about the righteous seed, and really it's talking about the unrighteous seed also, but I like to speak on righteousness. It reads, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of Yahushua and by our gathering together unto him." Because this was just like it is today. Many don't understand what the Father had planned, that it is not a kingdom that can be observed when it comes. It is not a, you're not flying away nowhere. You're not going to have all these superhuman strengths that some people like to say you'll have, making you a superhero if you're a Hebrew Israelite. No. The gathering will take place right where you are, because it's not you going to heaven, which many believe because they try to read Revelations and make it into something it's not, or they have the rapture theory doctrine where they're going off in the sky. That's not what's taking place. It says, by our gathering together to him. How are we going to get gathered together to our Father? Well, let's see. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 10. It reads that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, which is Yahushua, or Jesus, might gather together in one all things in Yahushua, both which are in heaven, that's our spiritual bodies, and which are on earth. He's bringing them with him, even in him. He is like the glue now that is bringing our spiritual bodies that we can read about in Ephesians 2 to our physical bodies where we're a new creature. We don't go by the things of the flesh. Let the dead bury the dead, as Yahushua would say. Let them who want to worry about the flesh, let them worry about the flesh. As Paul says, you want to be ignorant? Go on, be ignorant about this. It's right here in the book, family. I'm not making up nothing. It's right there. I pray you see. I pray that the Father gives you an eye to see and ears to hear and a mind for understanding. It looked like I just took down my Hebrew site. Give me a second. I got to pull it back up, family. I'm sorry. I took it down by accident. I was trying to close up a link, but that's okay. So, you know, family, it's like all we're showing you is spiritual things. Spiritual. That's how we're putting the scriptures together, by the scripture. Let the Bible interpret itself. That's the word. That's where the spirit lies. So we need to come back to our Father's word. Okay, I'm trying to get myself in. Give me a second. It won't take very long, family. I'm just trying to get my computer up because I actually shut down my site. Hold on one second. I'll be up in a second. Here I go. Okay. Almost there. Here I go. Okay. But I want to make sure that I hit this hard because there are way too many lies. Way too many lies being said over and over. And people read out the same book, but they're perverting the word. And it really is a shame. You know, it really is a shame because I read the book. It's not that hard. Now, when I was a babe in the word, and I didn't know what I was reading before the Father's Spirit woke me up. Yeah, it was a little difficult. But for those who have the Father's Spirit and we're reading this, this should align with your spirit. This is a simple. This is a simplicity in Yahushua. Okay? So it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of Yahushua and by our being gathered together unto him." This is the second coming they're speaking of. This is what the book of Acts records. I did the lessons look for the second coming. Okay, I did that lesson already. But he's speaking of our gathering together unto Yahushua. Okay, our gathering together back to him. How will this happen? Well, according to the word, family, if you're really reading what it says, simultaneously, we'll be gathering, or we will be gathered, separation. That's what's going to happen. And that's a clever way to deceive Satan and his children, because they're waiting for something to come in the future. The Father already got it planned out where it's already happened. He's already opened the book. When he comes back, he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Some are not getting this, but you're going to get it. Hold on. Let me give you an example of this simultaneous and this end time. Go to Matthew 13. We're going to read Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. It reads, this is a parable. Okay, this, some people title this one the parable of the fishing net, but in the KJV it reads, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Family, we know by reading that the angels are his people. We are speaking the word. We are separating by the word, by the spirit, by the sword. That's how we're doing it. You can see two things happening. The Father upon our scattering met into the sea, and he gathered everything back to him. This is some waking up to everlasting life. Some going to be waking up to everlasting shame and contempt. So when he gathers this net, and the people who had the spirit from above, whether they were righteous or unrighteous, will awake out their sleep. They will be gathered into the net. Now, when the net was full, or the fulfillment of time, as we've been reading about, for Yahushua's coming, it says that they drew near the shore. They sat down and gathered the good vessels. Okay? But the bad they cast away. And the Father lets us know through Matthew, through this parable, so shall it be at the end of the world. This is what's going to happen. The angels will come forth because they're going to hear. And they're going to sever the wicked from among the just by reading the word. And when they do this, the Father will be casting them into a furnace of fire, which means they're going to stay right in the fire, right in hell, right in the earth. We're going to be in the earth too, but we're going to be like that tree in Jeremiah that's at the water's edge, that's getting everything it needs while fire and hell is breaking loose everywhere else. It reads, and you shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Many people are looking for what you see in the movies, a lake of fire and people bouncing up and down in and out of this fire, which is known as the lake of fire or hell, screaming, over and over again. No. Even though inwardly that's how they'll be feeling, physically that's not what you're going to see. Okay? Any separation from our Father is misery. Any separation from the one who made us, the created one who's in control, anything that is separating us from our Father is misery, is mourning, is gnashing of teeth. Okay, it's wailing. Now, Matthew 10, I'm going to read verses 34 to 39. I'm going to take my time with this one. In Matthew chapter 10, it's going to tell us the separating. How will it be taking place? The Father says, to his disciples to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That's verse 34 of Matthew 10. What is a sword? Well, you can go look it up in Strong Concordance, and I'm gonna give you the number for it if you want to look it up. I have all this in my show notes, so those on our website can, you know, go through and take a look at it. But when you go look up the word sword in Matthew 10:34, it's going to be, ooh, it's so small. I want to say it's Greek. Let me hit it up and try to get these numbers bigger. They really make these numbers small. Okay, it's going to be Greek 3162. Okay, 3162. And that word simply means, if you go look it back, take it to its root etymology if you have to, family, because the word sword is figuratively war, judicial punishment. And that's what the word says. We just read it when we read Matthew 13, verses 47 and 50. So the Father is telling the people in Matthew 10, verses 34 to 39, think not that I come to send peace on this earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I come to bring judgment. And how will he do the judgment? It's going to be by the Spirit, by the Word, by the sword. He says, for I am come a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, his enemies, shall be they of his own household. He's only dealing with his people. From the time that we got scattered, Shem was there. All the descendants of Shem are still in the lineage of spiritual Israel. They came back under the covenant, the new covenant being Gentiles. But we're Gentiles too. That's the funny part about it. When we were taking our people during the time that we came out of Egypt, and they said some being strangers, but if they took the covenants on, they were as homeborn. Those were our people from the Tower of Babel. Remember, Abraham was the first to come out of confusion. But he was not the first. He was not Noah's son. There were people between Abraham and Noah's son. All you got to do is read in Matthew and figure out that lineage. The only thing is they were not hearing. Read about the lineages in Luke and Matthew, straight from Adam to Yahushua. You're going to read about Shem. You're going to read about Arphaxad, all these people, and they're in Shem's lineage. And they got scattered amongst the Gentiles, the house of the Gentiles. Just like you see today, we're scattered amongst all the people of the earth. They're already Gentiles. But of our people who should be given the word, hear the word, understand that their sins are forgiven, because they were the only people under a law. Now Yahushua is coming to give them this great gift. He took away the sins of the flesh and put that on himself. And he gave us, or imputated his righteousness on us. Right, he died for us right when we were wickedest, when we were sinning. But in order to sin, according to the Father, you have to have a law. Under Moses' law, we kept sinning. So he came back to take away the sins of the world. But what world? Remember, the kingdom of heaven is coming down to the kingdom of earth. That already happened. We can read where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Father. We can read about there's not a new heaven, a new earth. Okay? We can read about these new creatures coming into this new existence. Spiritual location to the physical, right here. So people are waiting for some sign to be seen, but it's all happening in the spiritual. Remember, our warfare is not carnal, but spiritual. Everything happens in the spiritual, and it will be manifested in the flesh. We even say the prayer of that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. So we see in Matthew 10, the Father says he is not coming to send no peace on this earth. That's not why he came. He came to send a sword, so to give judicial punishment. He says in verse 35 of Matthew 10, come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, and I'm going to leave that word right there because I'm going to go into what that word means, and followeth after me, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my name's sake shall find it. Now, that word cross, we're going to go to the Strong Concordances, Greek 2476. You go look it up. The word cross means to stand, to make a stand, to cause to stand. You remember how we're told this army stands up in Ezekiel 37? We can go back to Ephesians 6, and he keeps telling us, stand, stand. When you got the spiritual armor on, not a physical that you see people in purple marching around up and down the street yelling at people and all that. Not that crap. Spiritual armor on. You can't physically see it. But you can't physically see the battle that's truly going on unless you have been reborn to understand it's a spiritual battle. So this standing goes back to Ephesians 6, where we got the full armor and we're standing firm on the truth of the Father. We're not wavering. We're not second-guessing anything because of a surety. Our Father's word will not come back void. We can read it right here. We can read it right here. These things will happen. There is nothing that leaves his mouth spoken into existence that will not come back void. So with that understanding, I know I may sound like I'm trying to talk a little belittling, but I'm not, family. It's just that I already know where the minds of the people are. Okay, so do not mistake my tone. But you got to understand, I've been doing this all day. As a matter of fact, 2 days. I had yesterday off, too, and I want to give you guys a show, but to minister with the brother. So, going back on, he says that if we shall not take up our cross, or his cross, which means we're going to stand firm on his truth and follow after him. We're not worthy of him. He says, he that finds his life shall lose it. If you want to find your life in this world, well, you're going to lose your life. But he says, and he that loses his life in this world right here, he says, for my sake, that one's going to find it. See, when the Father start talking in Matthew 10 about the enemies being in the household, that tells you he's not talking about the household of the world. He's talking about the household of his people. He's coming back out of a book of a law, but it's a spiritual law now. He's opening up that book. He has opened up that book. But it was to the people who should have received the law, because the law is spiritual. That's why the Gentiles, we can read about in the New Covenant, they were brought in. These were those, and we didn't even read about all of those, but it says even those from another flock. You know, these were from the Tower of Babel straight up until Yahushua's time. The Northern Kingdom at this time, we can read about it in the New Covenant, they were known as Gentiles. But we were also known upon all those scatterings we went through. The family. I pray y'all getting this. Anyhow, the Father's job is, here is what he's going to do. By simultaneously gathering us back, he will be separating. We can read about the sheep and the goat. I'm going to go there because I got to link that several ways for you guys. I want to make sure everybody's getting this. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Remember, the Father said they're going to go to and fro in the earth looking for the word during this famine, and many will not find it. Then I believe it was in, I want to say, Amos. I don't know, I can't think of who I go back to the prior shows, but it said the same thing. They've been going to and fro, but they will find the word. Simultaneously, two things are going to be happening at one time. So when we go to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, it reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the set-apart angels with him." That's how I want to take you guys to Ephesians. Remember I told you guys, some don't realize it, that these angels being spoken of, that's us. When you go to Ephesians 1, it talks about Yahushua overcoming all the princes and the powers of the air. Then by the time you get to Ephesians 2, okay, I got pop-ups flying here, hold on. By the time you get to Ephesians 2, it's going to be talking about us. I just read to you guys, I'm going to go back there again. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man," that's Yahushua, Jesus, "shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him." Family, when this time happens, it says, "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So really, when was the time that the Son of Man, when did he come in his glory, and us as well? Well, go to Ephesians 2, or read verses 1 and 6. You're going to figure it out. Paul tells us, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Remember, when he resurrected, he defeated death. Ephesians 1 tells you how that he sits above all principalities, powers. He's sitting on his Father's right hand. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So before he separated us out, or that net that scooped everybody out, before they separated the good vessels from the bad vessels and threw them, and they were weeping and gnashing of teeth. We just read that. So at this time when we got to be Gentiles, when we were scattered across the four corners of the earth after the siege of Jerusalem, now when he comes, he's gathering us back from the four corners of the earth. Not just us. Not just us. And when I say not just us, I'm talking about not just spiritual Israel, as far as Judah, as far as those who are awake maybe right this second. Not just us. There are many other nations of our same people, but they lived in other places like today. Today, y'all would say, "I'm an American." I might have a brother or a sister from Haiti, but they're still the same thing as I am. We might have some from Mexico. We might have some from Brazil. We might have some from, according to the Father's word, it's four corners we're scattered, not 12 places. Okay? So we were all Gentiles before the great gathering, and it's taking place right now. He says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." This same spirit is still now working in the children of disobedience. Before he came, he had to come, give us his spirit so we can get back on the right track. Because Let me get there, because I'm getting all happy and excited here. He says, I'm going to just start it over so I can read it right through. You're going to really love this. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So of this world, he ain't coming back for everybody in this doggone world. So I got to get off on a tangent. With the Father's spirit, I got to move with it. Paul just told us While we were dead in trespasses and sins, that means we had to have had the law, and we broke the law, being the people who should have received the law. But we sinned. So we had a disconnect from our Father, and we were scattered in the world, known now as Gentiles. Where in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, Satan's world. But now since Yahushua came into this world, the second coming, and he said that the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Father. The northern and southern kingdom now came back in. Not everybody. I want to say that. Not everybody. But he is now sitting in that throne, in the high position. His kingdom is now coming to this world. This world, because he dethroned Satan, the principality of the power of the air. You know what I'm saying? He took over dominion. And now, he's always been in control, don't get me wrong. But now we get to partake of that authority and that power through Yahushua, the mediator. We get to do that now. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But our Father, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Yahushua. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yahushua. You can keep reading on and on, family. I hear some people talk about Ephesians chapter 2, and they believe in the rapture. So what they'll tell you is, yeah, they'll tell you the truth about some of the stuff. They'll say that when he come back, he coming back for judgment, and he's going to have wrath with him. And that's true. If you know that he came, but if you're waiting to float yourself in some cloud to meet guy and all this rapture crap, you, first of all, he don't want you to get off this earth. But if you believe all that, then what you're saying is you could be saved now by believing on Yahushua and be saved for the wrath that is now taking place. Because you're already spiritually saved for going to the sky to be in the sky with Jesus in the heaven. Which, okay, I believe that alone. No, that's not what it's saying. All this is for right now. The main reason why many people don't experience salvation, how it was meant to be experienced, is because they don't know the truth. They don't know that he is dwelling within us right now, that we are now a new creature. We don't go by the sins of the flesh. We go by the sins of the spirit. That's how we're judged. But when he opens the book, you've already been judged. Now is the separation of his people. We've already, when Yahushua dethroned principalities and power, and he sat at the right hand of his Father, Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, at that time he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yahushua. But then, you got to know that the kingdom cometh without observation. When Yahushua came back, he bought those mansions, those houses. He bought us back with the Father. It's all within us now. So let me go back. I want to make sure everybody's getting this. So it says, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the set-apart angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the set apart people with him, when he defeated and conquered death, when he ascended, when he became spiritual again, he came into his glory. And upon the time that he conquered and defeated death, you can read about it in Ephesians 1, we are now spiritually in heavenly places. But when he came back, that was him dwelling in us, because everything, we're this army that have to wake up on this earth and fight a spiritual battle, because his kingdom will come on earth. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he defeated death already, and all the set apart angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's what Ephesians 1 and 2 is speaking about. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Remember, when you go into reading about Yahushua, there's a lot of things that happen that we can't see in the physical, but spiritually, John wrote it down. Paul wrote things down. We were reading scriptures out of 2 Chronicles chapter 18 where Micaiah was giving you a spiritual revelation of the things you can't see but that are simultaneously happening right at the moment. Remember when Elijah said, Father, open his eyes so he can see. And when the servant's eye was open, he said, oh, my goodness. Wow, because he saw. Elijah said, there are more with us than with them. I don't care what army come against you. There's more with the Father's army than with the army of the flesh. So going back to Matthew 25, I pray I'm sending this right to where you guys can start receiving the truth. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Nations means tribes. But he was coming to judge his people. Spiritual Israel, the ones that came from above. Family, not all is going to make it. Here's the great white throne judgment, if you want to call it that. Let's read what it says. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goat on the left. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there because, see, I didn't told y'all. I told y'all. We got to go there. Y'all know I get happy. I'm a little tired. But when I took you guys to 2 Chronicles 18, the Father said that here too. It's not like I'm just pulling this stuff I'm getting ready to tell you just out of nowhere. You got to remember, when something's sitting on the Father's right hand, the right represent the righteous, the left represents the unrighteous. In 2 Chronicles 18, I read verses 18 to 22. I'm going to read it one more time so you can get it. Now, Micaiah, that was the righteous prophet during the time of the King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah. He was getting ready to give King Ahab what he saw concerning this battle that King Ahab wanted to go to. So what he says is, Micaiah says in verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 18, again he said, therefore, these things popping up on my site. Hold up a second. Okay. Therefore, hear the word of the Most High. I saw the Most High sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven sitting on his right hand and on his left. And the Father said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Father and said, I will entice him. And the Father said unto him, wherewith? Or how are you going to entice him? And this spirit said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Father said, thou shalt go and entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Father hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Father has spoken evil against thee. we're seeing that the vision which came from the Most High to Micaiah, the prophet that resided in Israel, but he was a righteous prophet, he said that he saw the Father sitting on a throne, his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. So he had the separation of angels right there. And then one came out. I bet you any money came from the left side. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and be a lying spirit in all the prophets that they have. Okay? So this lying spirit and the righteous ones, they were on the right hand and on the left, while the Father was sitting on the throne, all the thrones, all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. Nobody was missing, okay? No one was missing. So right here, when you go to Matthew 25, I'm going to read it again because I got to go somewhere else with you. I want to hit this so tight that I want somebody to say, oh, no, that's not what's being said. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Read your Bibles. Yes, it is. Ask the Father to give you spiritual wisdom. Ask him to allow his spirit to divide the truth from the lies of these words that these people are pulling a sheet over you and deceiving you. They're making you more blind than themselves. That's what Yeshua said would happen. They're blocking the way of the kingdom for the children to enter, and they're making the children of the Most High more devils, children of hell, than themselves. Matthew 25, family, once again, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the set-apart angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all the tribes, and he shall separate them one from another, because we just read the separation is going to be in the family. Mother against, he doing it with his people. I keep going off. Okay, calm down. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep, the goat ones, on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jump down to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels and his children. He called them cursed. In order to be cursed, Yeshua said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. What he's saying is, if you're going to still look at that tree and a physical flesh hanging on it, you're still in the physical. You're dwelling on things of the flesh. You're not dwelling on the spiritual understanding of what's taking place today. You guys look at prisons as our people being locked up in a cell. Well, yeah, that's true. That did happen. But that's not what the Father's talking about. He wants you free indeed, free from this vessel of flesh to where your spirit overrides the flesh. The flesh is our vessel, is our prison in this dimension. But he is bringing his dimension, spiritual, manifested into the flesh to where we are now no longer physical, but we're spiritual. We're free indeed. We're free indeed. We're not under no curse. The people who want to remain under the curse keep you under the law of Moses. Under the new covenantal law, there is no curse of the law of Moses. It's a spiritual law now. So he tells them, he's going to speak to the ones on the right. Let's go to 34 again, and I'm going to jump to 41 of Matthew 25. Then shall the king, that's Yahushua, say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of the Father prepared for you. And this is prepared for you not only, but from the foundation of the world. Okay, so this was before Genesis. You are already blessed. That's why when you go to Genesis Day three, he told you who had the spirit. He told you who didn't have the spirit on day six. Ain't nothing changing. Nothing's changing here. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, these were spirits from above, but they fell. Fallen angels, but they ain't got no wings. Some of them got big megaphones and purple outfits on corners screaming. A lot of them are teaching you the flesh. Baptism, Passover, wear dresses, grow your beard out, get in a set-apart so-called place, America's Babylon. Oh, this is the plague. Oh, that's a sign. That's a seal. Male and female. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. See, family? So when the Father, it says, let me read it here, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. Well, it's the ones who have to be judged out of the book. The book wasn't judging the whole world, because if that was the case, how do we get to be under a nation we knew not and slaves to them for all them years? How do we get to be under another nation when we were in Egypt, slavery to, if we all the same people, it don't make no sense. They should have been punishing themselves while they're punishing us. Y'all know what I'm saying? Okay. So we read about the sheep, the separating of the sheep on the right hand and the goat on the left. Remember I told you the apocalypse of Abraham? Remember I told you guys about that? I got the scripture. I'm going to read it to you because it says the same thing. When you get to the apocalypse of Abraham, I go to the right side, so I'm using the second translation. But here's what it reads. Verse 33. This is Abraham and the Most High. And I said, O Lord, mighty and eternal, who are the people in this picture on this side and that? And he said unto me, those who are on the left side are all those born before your day and afterwards, some destined for judgment and restoration, and others for vengeance. But those on the right side of the picture, they are the people who have been set apart for me, and whom I have ordained to be born of your line and called my people, even some of those who derived from Azazel. That's when we were all under the prince of the power of the air. You wonder why some of us are waking up now. Some of us are waking up now. Well, go figure. I'll let that one sit for a while. I'm going to let that one sit. Y'all think about that. Now, I'm going to take you guys to another one, Matthew 13, verses 33 through 43. I want to check my switchboard real quick. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, area code 504. Shabbat Shalom, I see you there. That's another Kenner, Louisiana number. Family, we have 55 minutes left. I don't know how far I'll get tonight. I might save some of this for tomorrow. I don't know. I got a lot, though. So let me go a little bit further. All right. Matthew 13. Remember, talking about the separating of the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tares. Pay attention. The righteous from the unrighteous. Matthew 13, verses 33 to 43. These are all parables. Another parable spake Yahushua unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, that talks about our state of confusion. That talks about our state, because remember how Yahushua was telling his disciples, beware, he was talking about the bread, the leaven, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees is what he said. And they thought he was talking about we don't have any bread to give to the Pharisees. No, the leaven was the lies of them. So he's telling you the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven that a woman took. She hid this leaven in three measures of meal to everything was leaven, because he's going to separate. Everything will look just alike, but he's going to separate his by his spirit. Those who hear his word, those who have a spirit to hear. And when they wake up, they're going to be a light to the others who are already captured, still captured, okay? But not everybody going to wake up. So it says, all these things spake Yahushua unto the multitude in parables, and spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then Yahushua sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. I didn't read it because I didn't read that and you didn't read that before. He was talking about the parable of the wheat and tare. The disciples want to know, you know, give us the understanding of this. So Yahushua answers and says unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The seed sown is a spirit. Like Yahushua is the Son of the Most High, because the Most High took a little of the spirit and he created a child from him. Just like I might create a daughter or a son from me. Okay? He took the perfect spirit, and there was Yahushua. He was the Word in the beginning with the Father. Then we read about how the Word started making all these things. Okay, he don't do nothing except but the will of his Father. So his Father is included in this. But we got our spirit from Yahushua. So now we, as Yahushua, as Yahuwah, are all one. So understand what this seed is. Let me go there again. Yahushua sent the multitudes away, went into this house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now you're going to get your answer here, family. Yahushua answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. We're the reapers. We're the gatherers, hunters, fishermen. We are those angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels when he comes back. The second coming came already. He brought those spiritual bodies you read in Ephesians chapter 2 with them, and we are now reborn. We are a new creature in Yahushua. He's dwelling within us, family. I hope y'all realize this. So it says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. That goes back to the parable of the fishing net that I read to you when I first started off. Read those scriptures, understand what's being said. Same thing. He said that the angels, which are us, he said they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and which do iniquity. So out of his kingdom will be separated the wicked, right? And he's going to take the wicked and cast them into a furnace fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So he's showing you how, in the beginning of this parable, Yahushua was letting you know at the beginning of the parable that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. That is lies. That is mystery Babylon. That is confusion. Come out of her, my people. Remember? A woman compassing a man. Israel turning from the sinful state back to the Father. That's what that means. But how do they do it? They do it by the Father's Spirit. When he came back, that's why this gospel is so good. When he came back, he came back. Don't let nobody tell you he didn't come back. You are a new creature. You now do not worry about the things of the flesh, including sinning by the flesh. we worry about the things of the Spirit, because the unforgivable sin is rejecting the Spirit. How do they reject the Spirit? They reject the Spirit every time they take you back to Moses' law, every time they have you looking at a cross, every time they have you going into some kind of Shabbat day or Passover, when our Father is the Shabbat. He is Lord of the Passover. We rest in our Father every day, not one day. Not one day. Okay, family. Now I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you guys somewhere else. This is another separating. You can read about this in Matthew 7, verse 23. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a little bit. Oh, it's actually, let me see. I don't know if I want to read all this. I don't want to read all this. You go ahead, look in my notes. I have a link. I don't want to read all that. But he's going to say, depart from me. When he tells the children of Israel to depart from him, who think they're making it into the kingdom, because they've been deceived. They believe that they're serving our Father, and they're not. They say, haven't I cast out devils? Haven't I taught in your name? Haven't I done this and this and this? And they are thrown and cast out into the earth. They are not separated. They are deceived by the evil one, the spirit that now and still works in the children of disobedience who stay in the flesh, lending their vessel over to the evil one. Why is the Father separating his people from those of the world? Here's one of the reasons why these people get separated, family. I'm going to take you guys to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read to you, verses 28 and 29. The word says, Paul was led by the Spirit of the Most High. He was speaking spirit, so pay attention when Paul speaks. Hebrews 10, verses 28 and 29. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This is a fact. You can go in Old Covenant. Paul just lets you know. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be worthy, or shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of the Most High, and hath counted the blood of the covenant. This is the new covenant, wherewith he was sanctified and a righteous thing. And had done despite any time in the old covenant. The one that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was fact in the old covenant. That was under the flesh covenant. But Paul said, if that happened to those dying without mercy under two or three witnesses under Moses' flesh law, of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, the person who does this, who has trodden underfoot the Son of the Most High. And how do they do this? They counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and a righteous thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Spirit of grace only came by way of Yahushua's resurrection through the new covenant. When he forgave your sins, he took on your imputations of sins that gave you his righteousness, also the gift of grace. Spiritual thing. But some people don't think that's enough, because they still got people trying to wear certain clothes, do certain things, worry about things that don't apply to the real battle that's going on. They so worried about marching up and down streets, or setting up little camps, or keeping you in a building on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday, whatever day they choose, telling you that God loves the whole world. That's not what the Father's Word says. I don't care how many which ways you go through it, because I listen to a lot of different people say it, and I know all the places they're messing up. This book is about us, the children of the Most High. These are the spiritual Israel, not some of these Hebrew Israelites you see or Christianity that you see. Not everybody, and that kills people. But the Father is the one making the judgment on this. He said he'd come and separate right in the family. In the family.
the ones who went underneath the curse and were scattered. They discontinued from being in a state where they could hear the Father. And now they were amongst all the people of the world. They were known as Gentiles. He wanted to bring a way for his people who should have been hearing to hear. Whether you were scattered from the Tower of Babel or you were scattered at the siege of Jerusalem. Wherever you scatter across the four corners of the earth, he's coming to you. You ain't got to go listen to somebody and go transplant your behind somewhere else. Father never said that. I'm going to be like Joshua. For me and my household, we don't serve the Father. We don't serve the Father.
Let's go back, Sam. Sometimes I get emotional about this because I know what people think and I know what they're doing because I watch, I look, I listen. And then the questions they bring to me, I already know where that mind is at. When you go, family, to John chapter 5, verses 44 and 47, it reads, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from the Father only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Think on that, what the Father's telling you. How can ye believe? It's hard for these people to believe the truth. But many of them who want to righteously or unrighteously say, we Hebrew Israelites or we're the Father's people, it's spiritual Israel, and they take it, and we know them Jewish people out there is not the people. But in Christianity, they want to bring the whole world with them. Whatever sect of Christianity they want to go from. Everybody got the same book. But everybody ain't telling the truth. Everybody ain't precepting this book spiritually and giving you the truth. We got to rightly divide the word. Who is the book for? Who was the book given to? Preserved for? Who is preserved for you and me if your spirit came from above? It told you that everything we have would be taken away when we got scattered. That everything we would learn would be from this enemy that the Father put over us. He only chastises people with enemies, whether it be of our people or whether it be not of our people, but people who are in this world, not the righteous. The righteous is not going to be put over the righteous to be mean to the righteous. He always used the unrighteous. The unrighteous who, when we saw the time of Yahushua in the New Covenant and his apostles, those were Hebrews coming down and saying, stone them. Those were Roman officials that were Hebrews, or you could call them Gentiles, really, because that's what they were. But they were nonetheless the Father's people. Just like you see today, if I became president, I may be a Hebrew, but I'm under Roman authority here, dictatorship, with my job, with my title. Nonetheless, I'm the Father's people. So when you read the book, all the clues, all the signs are given to tell you these are women. Wait a minute. These are our people. They might call them Romans, Greek, barbarians. If our people were scattered across the four corners of the earth, you not think they could be called that? This ain't nothing new. Go back to the Tower of Babel. There's nothing new, and our Father's word does not change. He had a people. He said, "I scattered them, scattering them again, but I'm going to regather them." Not from Egypt this time, but from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, from the four corners of the earth. These are still the same people. It's just that you don't know what the words mean. So, how can the people hear without a preacher, and how can that preacher preach unless he's sent? When I start putting this together, it should go with your spirit. The spirit, the Father's spirit's flowing through me. I'm deciphering this for you. You should pick up on it. Woo, woo, woo. I get it. If you don't get it, cry out to the Father. Ask him to forgive your sins.
ask him to give you his spirit. He wants you to have it, family. I ain't saying nothing new here.
I'm not saying nothing new. Nothing I should be saying should be not flow with your spirit. John 5:44-47 reads again, "How can ye believe which receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that cometh from the Father only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not in his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And all I'm doing is reading the Father's word, precepting it properly, spiritually. Okay, family. I'm going to stop there, and I possibly would do part two. I got quite a bit. I possibly will tomorrow sometime. But if you get a chance, I'm going to post The Kingdom of God is Within You. This is taken from the book of Luke. Joseph Johns, I'm going to post that on our website, but it is within the notes. But I'm not going to open up the notes until I finish the show. So if you would like to look at that so you can understand the truth of the second coming came. He brought back the kingdom with us. All these things are in us. So nothing's an external job anymore, family. Everything's an internal job. Just remember that. Salvation comes from the inside. It's not that we got to go to a building, a structure. Our Father's not living in a place that's made with hands. Yahushua came back. He left all the things of the physical behind. He wants to bring us now back into the spiritual. We are by being reborn and understanding that we're in a spiritual battle, not a physical. When we read the words, we're not reading the physical word. We're reading the spiritual word. So with that said, family, listen, continue to pray for me. I'll be praying for you, and I'll be prayerfully back on tomorrow if the Father will allow. So with that said, family, shalom.